Dirk was watching him with odd attention. "Oh, really?" he said at last. "And why not?" "Well, there's nothing you can test. The whole point of the idea is to think about what happens before you make your observation. You can't know what's going on inside the box without looking, and the very instant you look, the wave packet collapses and the probabilities resolve. It's self-defeating. It's completely purposeless." "You are, of course, perfectly correct as far as you go," replied Dirk, returning to his seat. He drew a cigarette out of the packet, tapped it several times on the desk, and leant across the desk and pointed the filter at Richard. "But think about this," he continued. "Supposing you were to introduce a psychic, someone with clairvoyant powers, into the experiment, someone who is able to divine what state of health the cat is in without opening the box, someone who has, perhaps, a certain eerie sympathy with cats, what then? Might that furnish us with an additional insight into the problem of quantum physics?" "Is that what they wanted to do?" "It's what they did." "Dirk, this is complete nonsense." Dirk raised his eyebrows challengingly. All right," said Richard, holding up his palms. "Let's just follow it through. Even if I accept it, which I don't for one second, that there was any basis at all for clairvoyance, it wouldn't alter the fundamental undoableness of the experiment. As I said, the whole thing turns on what happens inside the box before it's observed. It doesn't matter how you observe it, whether you look into the box with your eyes or, well, with your mind, if you insist. If clairvoyance works, then it's just another way of looking into the box. And if it doesn't, then of course it's irrelevant."
"It might depend, of course, on the view you take of clairvoyance."
"Oh, yes, and what view do you take of clairvoyance? I should be very interested to know, given your history."
Dirk tapped the cigarette on the desk again and looked narrowly at Richard. There was a deep and prolonged silence, disturbed only by the sound of distant crying in French. "I take the view I have always taken," said Dirk eventually, "which is that I am not clairvoyant."
"Really," said Richard, "then what about those exam papers?"
The eyes of Dirk gently darkened at the mention of the subject. "Coincidence," he said in a low, savage voice. "A strange and chilling coincidence, but nonetheless a coincidence. One, I might add, which caused me to spend a considerable time in prison. Coincidences can be frightening and dangerous things." Dirk gave Richard another of his long, appraising looks.
"I have been watching you carefully," he said. "You seem to be extremely relaxed for a man in your position." This seemed to Richard to be an odd remark, and he tried to make sense of it for a moment. Then the light dawned, and it was an aggravating light.
"Good heavens," he said. "He hasn't got to you as well, has he?"
This remark seemed to puzzle Dirk in return.
"Who hasn't got to me?" he said.
"Gordon. Well, no, obviously not. Gordon Way. He has this habit of trying to get other people to bring pressure on me to get on with what he sees as important work."
I thought for a moment... "Never mind. What did you mean, then?"
"Ah, Gordon Way has this habit, has he?"
"Yes, I don't like it. Why?"
Dirk looked long and hard at Richard, tapping a pencil lightly on the desk. Then he leaned back in his chair and said as follows. "The body of Gordon Way was discovered before dawn this morning. He had been shot, strangled, and then his house was set on fire. Police are working on the theory that he was not actually shot in the house because no shotgun pellets were discovered there, other than those in his body. However, pellets were found near to Mr. Way's Mercedes 500 SEC, which was found abandoned about 3 miles from his house. This suggests that the body was moved after the murder. Furthermore, the doctor who examined the body is of the opinion that Mr. Way was in fact strangled after he was shot, which seems to suggest a certain confusion in the mind of the killer. By a startling coincidence, it appears that the police last night had occasion to interview a very confused-seeming gentleman who said that he was suffering from some kind of guilt complex about having just run over his employer. That man was a Mr. Richard Macduff, and his employer was the deceased, Mr. Gordon Way. It has further been suggested that Mr. Richard Macduff is one of the two people most likely to benefit from Mr. Way's death, since Wayforward Technologies would almost certainly pass at least partly into his hands. The other person is his only living relative, Miss Susan Way, into whose flat Mr. Richard Macduff was observed to break last night. The police don't know that bit, of course, nor, if we can help it, will they. However, any relationship between the two of them will naturally come under close scrutiny. The news reports on the radio say they are urgently seeking Mr. Macduff, who they believe will be able to help them with their inquiries, but the tone of voice says that he is clearly guilty as hell. My scale of charges is as follows, £200 a day plus expenses. Expenses are not negotiable and will sometimes strike those who do not understand these matters as somewhat tangential. They are necessary and, as I say, not negotiable. Am I hired? "Sorry," said Richard, nodding slightly. "Would you start that again?"